Amen. The devil's got no hold on me, because I want y'all to believe that, because a lot of times we're told to believe the lies that he tells us, you know, because again, you know, a lot of times he says things to us, and he says things to us from other people. He says things to us from different books and different messages and different audios. And sometimes a lot of that, if you don't really pay attention to it, is nothing but lies. So you got to understand, a lot of times people who are born-again Christians, they think that the devil has a hold of them. They think that the devil is messing up everything in their lives. But in reality, if you really look at it, the devil has no hold over us, folks. If you was to study the scriptures carefully, I should have wrote the passage down and displayed it, because it just came to mind. But I believe it's in Hebrews, but it says, greater is he who is in you. Now, listen to this again. Greater is he who is in you than he who is of this world. So, if that is the case, if Satan has more power than Christ in everything that we are doing, everything that we are surrendering to, everything that we are living for, everything that we believe, wouldn't you believe it? It's nothing more than a lie. So, folks, how can that be? If we have studied scriptures carefully and we believe everything that the Bible says, but yet somehow Satan has more power than Christ, has more power over us, then folks, we've been told the biggest lie there ever was. Wouldn't you agree? So this is why, again, you have to be very careful of what you listen to. Because again, as you just said, thank you, Lisa, said, little children, you are from God. So I was in the wrong book. Anyway, little children, you are from God who have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is of the world. So again, folks, you know, while thinking and listening to this music today and prepping for this lesson, and I was thinking about the lesson I'm going to preach to you tonight, if that's the case, if Satan has power over us, if he can do all things to us, that means then he's more powerful than Christ. But again, that can't be because scriptures right there says different. That's the lies that we have been falling into. That's the lies that's been spread throughout all humanity. And that's lies that still continue going out there. I don't know if y'all ever been familiar with the Truth Project, but there's a word they use in there, which I may end up doing at our church. It's called a pernicious lie. And that lie has been so engrafted for so long into human society, people have bought into that. And now that I see it more fragrant today, more fervent today, the lies has grown bigger and actually got more destructive, and people are falling for it, especially Christians. So, with that, it is Friday night. I'm glad that you're here. We're back for another message, and yet, folks, I'm still experiencing some internet issues, but we're still trying. You know, like I say, it's just, he's trying to feed me the lies, says, give up, Jim, you see all this is going to go down. But unfortunately, I am very busy with a new church, and I got to devote my life to the church. So this is why, again, folks, I'm not here. You know, I'm not here as I used to be, because, again, when I didn't have much going on, especially in ministry, in real life, this was the ministry. But now that's been focused. So, you know, again, you know, I got to devote my time to them. And I'm trying to, you know, be here for you on Thursday nights and Fridays. So those of you who are listening, remind the others, because there have been some questions sent to me by email. Well, I noticed you hadn't uploaded your sermon from last Friday and the Friday before that. Why? You know, I need to listen to it. Well, the problem is with that, folks, I was doing two sermons a week, one for the church and one for here. And along with my other responsibility, it was starting to chew into a lot of my time, so I had to learn to manage it. So I'm only going to do one sermon a week, and that's for the church, but y'all going to get the preview of it on Friday nights. So it will not be posted until the church hears it. Once they hear it, then I will, sometime that following week, post it online, and we'll post it here in the chat room. So, you know, it's going to be a delay in posting on the sermons. But if you want to get the live view, be here on Friday nights and you're going to get it. Or I would say if you want to ride to Louisiana, come to Red Bluff Baptist Church. You come sit in on Sunday mornings and you'll get it. So y'all got the preview, so to speak. You know. So anyway, listen to this carefully, because I went over this for quite a few. I think I've been thinking on this for about 2 weeks. There was a message I was working on today, which is going to be a series I'm going to do at the end of the month. But I was thinking of this one a lot, you know, because a lot of times when I'm sitting up there in a quiet place, I got a lot to think about. And this is a story of a little boy who had trouble telling the truth. His mother was just fed up with him, and so often that she made him stand in the corner, and she just got to the point she just had enough. So one day, you know, after the frustration of him telling lies all the time, she asked her son, "Son, what is a lie?" Well, the little boy replied, "Mother, a lie is an abomination to the Lord, but a very present help in time in need." Mark Twain himself once said this: the difference between a person who tells the truth and the one who tells a lie is that the liar has to have a better memory. Wise words. I like that because, again, that is the truth. A liar has to have a better memory because once they tell a lie, they got to remember that lie and keep that lie presented as truth. Because if they don't have good memory of the original lie, sooner or later the lie gets exposed. Mark Twain was some wise man saying that, you know. So what is that saying? Well, today, in all actuality, from what I've been seeing, talking to people, dealing with people in real life, you know, seeing it on, basically we can say it on the news, but people in real life, and y'all probably been exposed to this, lying is very popular today. No one has no convictions over it. Sadly, many Christians no longer have convictions about lying. But folks, the reality is lying is a sin. So how can they willfully lie and still claim to be a follower of Christ when they're constantly telling lies? And folks, when they get caught in these lies, it ruins their credibility as a Christian. But why is that? Well, as I just said, lying, not lions, lying is very popular today. And that's because we, human beings, have believed the devil's lie that the truth doesn't really matter. In fact, Satan has convinced so many people that there is no such thing as absolute truth. So, there can be no absolute lie either. Satan's deception, or Satan's dedication, if you want to put it this way, his dedication to lying is complete. His dedication to untruth is a lethal weapon that he wants to use on us. The devil is incapable of telling the truth, folks, unless he can tell a partial truth to corrupt the whole truth or twist the truth to his evil purpose. With that, we're going to have a reading. Is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Look what it says. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'May we eat the fruit of the trees of the garden? But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you again for allowing us to gather together with friends and to use these technologies to present the word, because again, the way things has gone on in the world, I know a lot of people saying, man, everything is out of control, but Father, that is nothing but a lie, because again, nothing is out of control because it's all resting in your hands. We got to quit falling into these lies. We got to quit listening to these lies. We got to quit letting those lies ruin our lives and ruin our faith to believe in you, because, you know, again, that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to believe the lie. But what he's doing, he's incapable of telling the truth, so he puts partial truth to it with a lie in order for us to fall for that trap. And we got to learn to understand how not to fall for it. Father, I know we all battle with this, and we all battle with things. And sometimes, you know, as Pontius Pilate even said in the Bible, you know, before Jesus was crucified, what is truth? Well, we need your wisdom and your guidance and your understanding to know what truth is. And this is why it's so important for us to purge ourselves of fleshly desires in our lives. And if we got to do so, and if it's going to be hard, then it needs to be done, because we have forgotten what it was to return to holiness. Father, people today those who's following Jesus, and look, and I love every one of them, but I think you already know, we have forgotten what holiness is all about. We've forgotten how to be holy, because again, your word says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Well, we're holy to a certain point because what we're doing, we believe the truth, but we're adding a little semi-truth to that because, again, we are loving the things that we still love to do, and yet we're not willing to surrender and count these things as a full cost of getting rid of it. And that's because we have fell into a bunch of lies, and we're believing it, and sometimes we believe it so much we think it is true. And we need to strip ourselves and purge ourselves and get back to the basics and get back to holiness and surrender ourselves to your authority and allow you to make changes within ourselves. Father, we got to quit listening to other people. We got to quit listening to other junk. We got to quit listening to other garbage. We need to turn around and focus ourselves on you. Focus on the heavenly things and quit focusing on things around us, circumstances, or events that takes place in our lives. And let us draw closer to you. As you said, let us draw close to you and you will draw close to us. We thank you, we love you, and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, folks, y'all seen the message. You know, those of you who are here, you know it because you see it in the chat room. But the online listeners, they don't know the title of the message. But the title of the message is Five Lies Satan Loves to Tell. Now, Satan likes to tell a lot of lies because the Bible is very clear. Satan is the father of all lies. But if you look in this scriptures we just read, in Genesis 3, what you see here, we are confronted what I call a close encounter of the third kind. Not an encounter with the living God, but rather with Satan, the God of this world, the God who rules the new age with old lies. And when you think about it, up to 1960, Satan staged what I call the frontal assault on truth. He emphasized a scientific atheism, if you want to say it that way, which is making a big comeback, more so in part to people like, and y'all should know this name, Richard Dawkins. Now, he died, but I guarantee if he never accepted Jesus Christ, he knows everything he said was a lie. He fell for Satan's lie, and he's living in hell right now. Let's hope he did accept Jesus and he is in heaven. But up to the point to his death, you know, the frontal assault of truth been twisted into what I call the scientific atheism because of him, because when Richard Dawkins wrote that, the God of Delusion, and many people read that, and they fell for it, and they said, well, maybe God is not real. Well, how about another person called Christopher Hitchens, and he wrote, God is not good. People wrote and read that, and like, well, makes some sense. That's what's been happening to me in my life, and I believe that. But along with so many other people today, they are telling people in basic reality, there is no such person as God. God's not real. God does not exist. You fell for a lie. But if you notice, there's been a fundamental shift. This is no longer Satan's primary tactic used in this day and age. He was using that back then in the early 60s and into the late 70s and the 80s, but now there's been a fundamental shift that he's using a different tactic now. The new approach, this is what he's doing, folks, if you have not been paying attention to this like I have, and I've been watching this closely since I've been born again for the last 15 years, and it's gotten worse. It's really unbelievable. But the new approach, the way he or the enemy does things now, is more subtle. It's more of a subtle infestation or infection. It's real done in a subtle way instead of a full-fledged frontal assault. He realized then, you know, running that full-fledged frontal assault was not doing any good, so he's doing it in a more subtle way. He's doing it in a more sophisticated way. He's doing it more spiritual. And I ain't talking about heavenly spiritual and what he's calling spiritual and people falling for it. You see, folks, here's the key. Satan himself loves to talk about Jesus. He loves to talk about God. He loves to talk about harmony. He loves to talk about peace, brotherhood, unity, light, love, hope, angels, and salvation. Say, what? That's right, folks. If you've been paying attention to what's been going on, yeah, he's loved to talk about all these things. But what he's doing, he's only telling you partial truths while the lie is embedded in there somewhere. How so? Well, here's a good example of this. And y'all should know your history if you study school. I mean, I'm an old fogey, and we did study Greek mythology in school. So I don't know if that's still being taught today or not. I just don't know. But here's a good example that the Greeks themselves laid siege for Troy for over 10 years with no success. They tried and tried and tried and tried and tried and tried, and they just could not really overtake the city. So what they did, they built themselves large wooden horses and apparently gave the illusion they sailed away and left the horses behind. Well, those Trojans were so curious and ignored the warnings to beware of the Greeks bearing gifts. So therefore, they drug those horses into the city, and guess what? Throughout the night, they opened them up. All the Greeks came out. Troy was captured. That's the story. Yeah, that's what was taught in school. The people got massacred. The city was burned. And it's probably true. I don't know. I mean, when you call it Greek mythology, like, okay. But folks, this is why I say Satan is doing things in a subtle way, because what I'm trying to warn you right now, beware of the God of the New Age peddling old lies. Beware of the God of the New Age peddling old lies. And there are five lies that Satan does love to tell. And you can see that all in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. It's all right there. Boy, he did it very good there. I'm not trying to give him the glory, but he did it. But understand this, folks. He loves to tell five lies. The first two that he tells are meant to critically wound you. And the last three are meant to kill you forever. First two is to wound you. The last three is to kill you forever. Here we go. First lie that Satan says, and you probably heard this a lot, you can't really trust the Bible. Wow. We all heard that. That's pushed basically almost everywhere. You can't trust the Bible. It's got so many inconsistencies. Me and Lisa was talking about that a little bit earlier. You know, what, you know, people claiming, well, there's an error in the Bible, there's an error in this translation, there's an error in that, there's an error in this, error. There's a bunch of inerrancies in the Bible, so you really can't trust it. So people, okay, well, can't trust it, then it must be true. Why are these different translations? Why are these different meanings in different chapters, you know? So, must be an error. Must be true. So, like I said earlier, if that is the case, then the whole Bible is nothing but a lie. But what he is doing and what the enemy is doing here, folks, he tells us that his character, and he's meaning God, he tells us in this passage that his character is suspect. He says he's an unfair God. He wants to make rules and give you moral commands and restrict many of your freedom and privileges. You see that in verse 1. God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. God is so unfair. He is at best ignorant, or worse, or better yet, dishonest God. He points that out in verses 2 and 4. When he says, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. But if you notice how cunning the serpent was, he said to the woman, "You will not surely die." You see what I'm saying, folks? That's a good lie he loves to tell you, because what he's trying to do, he's trying to wound you with that lie. So what is Satan really saying to her in this lie? That God is either ignorant or he has no idea what he is talking about. So therefore, he's a liar. And he goes on to say in these passages, and you look at verse 5, he says, he is a selfish God. For God knows, and you see it right there, for God knows in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God. But see, what Satan is really saying in his lie, God doesn't want to share his privileges and his wisdom and his deity with you. He's selfish, and he wants to keep it all to himself. First wound. Second one, already that you've been wounded by. The second lie says, you can't really trust the Bible. Now, we already know he's saying, you can't trust the God of the Bible. That's what he's pointing out. You can't trust God. But lo and behold, now he comes to the Word of God saying, you really can't trust the Bible. And if you can't trust God who claims to who have written the Bible, then how can you trust the Bible? There are so many uncertainties in the Bible. Has God really said? See, folks, it's all a matter of opinion. It's all a matter of interpretation. There are so many contradictions in the Bible. God says, you will surely die. There's the wording. But then Satan says, you will not surely die. Do y'all see what's going on here? God is saying, you will surely die. But Satan is saying, you will not surely die. Who can you trust? So he's already pointed out to us, you can't trust God. Now you cannot trust the Word. You really cannot trust the Bible because of higher criticism and what they call liberal theology out there today. The Bible may contain the Word of God somewhere, but the Bible isn't the Word of God according to the liberal theology out there. Man says today we must first reinterpret it. Let's forget about these translations. We're going to reinterpret the Bible our way. Let's take that supernatural thing out and let's reconstruct it. You see what man's doing today in society, but he's getting help from Satan to do things in a subtle way because, like I just told you, folks, those first two lies is meant to wound you. You really can't trust the Bible because of neo-Orthodox theology. The Bible may become the Word of God, but the Bible isn't always the Word of God. Has God really said? Now, if you believe those first two lies, your spirit has already been critically wounded. You get this? If you believe those two lies, your spirit already has been critically wounded. The next three lies will kill you forever. You ready for them? The next three lies will kill you forever. The first two you've been wounded, the next three is going to kill you. The third lie that Satan tells. Y'all ready for this? There is no such thing as eternal death, final judgment, and hell. You see, that liberal theology, what it has done, because with the help of Satan doing it in a subtle way, it has said there is no such thing as eternal death, final judgment, and hell. That is not existing. Regardless of what God of the Bible says, since you can't trust God or his book anyway, you will not surely die. Has anybody here ever heard of universalism? I know there's only a few of y'all here, but have y'all ever heard of that, universalism? Well, Lisa has. Okay, so somebody's paying attention. I don't know if they're awake here or they stepped away from the PC or not. But here's what this does. Basically, what that theology does, it teaches that everyone will be okay in the end. Because, here we go, love wins. Love conquers all. Love saves. Because what it's saying, what the universalism teaching is saying, what basically they are saying a loving God will never judge anybody or send anyone to hell forever. A loving God would not do that. He loves you. He loves you just as you are. Be like what you want to be. You will not surely die. Wow. And people fell for that lie. Haven't you ever heard of reincarnation? I know I have. I know. Have y'all? Have y'all ever heard of reincarnation? Or other words, they call it karma. That's another great lie that's been out there. And what it is saying, and what that is teaching, it's saying there are plenty of chances to overcome bad karma. Oh, you got plenty of chances. You are a person of nine lives or many lives. You can overcome bad karma. God is the God of endless chances. Not last chances, but he is a God of endless chances. Om be one with him. Really? How about this one? Haven't you ever heard of the near-death experiences? What about those feelings of love and peace and joy and that great light at the end of the tunnel? So forget the sinfulness of man. Forget the holiness of God. Forget the atonement of Christ. Relax. There is no eternal death. There is no final judgment. There is no hell. All will be good. That third lie is starting to kill shots. The fourth lie, Satan tells. And this is the one he uses a lot. You ready for this? Are you? The fourth lie that Satan tells. Here we go. You can be God. Oh, wow. Really? I can be God? Wow. See, when he says that you can be God, what he is telling you, you have the divine nature and life within you. You have just been so ignorant for so long. Because when God said, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing, here we go in the last verse, good and evil. Your eyes has been open. You've just been ignorant for so long. Go ahead. Go for it. Well, how about this one? Have y'all ever heard of pantheism? Pantheism. I know maybe if you're going, what? Pantheism? What the heck is that? Okay. Well, if you hadn't heard of this, here's what it is. And this one's been snuck in a very subtle way. Haven't y'all ever heard, and you might recognize it, have you ever heard of transcendentalism or transcending? Or going to another level of existence or plane? That you can transcend from this level to this level if you do this and do that and do this? That's what pantheism is all about. In other words, it's basically New Age stuff. Scientology, Scientology is really very, very popular on the West Coast right now. But that's what it all boils down to, New Age movements. And what they teach in that New Age stuff, what they teach is that all is one, all is God, I am God. That's what they teach. Kill shot number two, the last and final kill shot, the fifth lie that Satan tells. You ready? And this is what he's been putting out there for a while. There is a secret occult. Knowledge is available to you, more superior to the Bible. Because once you get that knowledge and knowing of good and evil, it's more superior to you than the Bible. Well, how about this? Haven't y'all ever heard of Gnosticism? I know it's a hard word to pronounce, but that's what it means, Gnosticism. Anybody knows what it really means, in case you don't? Yeah, he knows, see? It's called the secret occult of knowledge. Your eyes will be open. That's what he's pointing out to them in the last part of Genesis 1 through 3. Boom, your eyes will be open because now you've been put into that secret knowledge. You've been granted into that secret occult, knowing good and evil, desirable to make one wise. That's what it's doing. Then the eyes, and when you see that in verse 5 through 7 in that same chapter, their eyes, both of them, were open. Well, here's more dangerous into this part. Have you ever heard of fortune telling, astrology, witchcraft, seances? Crystals. Well, nothing wrong with that because when you do all that, it gives you the secret knowledge superior to the Bible, superior to God. Soak it in. Embrace it. Third kill shot. First two wound you, the last three killed you. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. Do people really believe these lies? Do they? Yes, they do. All the time. When you look further in this passage in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 through 10, look what happened to Adam and Eve. And the consequences was devastating because of their lies. And it's devastating to us today because of their lies. All because of Satan's lies. Man was cursed and fell into sin, all because of those lies back then. Five lies, they listened to it and fell. And mankind has been paying for it ever since then. So folks, the only effective response to Satan's lies is God's truth. That is the only effective weapon against his lies. And that's why I'm trying to really reiterate to y'all, you need to understand where these lies are coming from, why these lies are so subtle, because again, he started out way, way, way back then at a full-fledged frontal assault, and he knew that was not working, so now he's doing it in a very subtle way over a period of time. And before you know it, it's crept in to many households. It's crept into many doctoral teachings. It's crept into many churches. It's actually crept into many Christians today who's embracing those lies. And they don't know it because they've been killed by the lies. So the only effective way to combat those lies is God himself, because God himself has clearly said in the Bible, his words, he does not lie. Period. And we got Titus chapter 1, verse 2, which clearly states that. Look what it says, and which it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, here we go, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That's Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Clearly outlined to us. It said right there, promised before time ever began. You see, folks, the God of the Bible is the only true God and fully trustworthy. So therefore, God's best-selling book. The Bible is fully trustworthy, and you can rely on that 100%. Folks, there is an eternal death. That's the truth. There is final judgment. That's the truth. There is hell to come, and that's the truth. Fourth truth, we are not God. And the fifth truth, we can never be God. You see the truth? Five truths I just told you, and I just told you five lies that Satan countermanded those truths. So I'll leave y'all with this. Think about it. Neither can Satan be God. He's trying. We know this in the Bible. It's very clear. He's trying to be like God the best way possible. In fact, he wanted to be God, and that's what caused him to fall. He decided he wanted to sit up on that throne, and God said, uh-uh, Jack. No way, Jose. You're out of here. You see, folks, secret knowledge is what Satan provides, and it will kill you because he lies and does not speak truth. Certain knowledge is that which God provides, and Jesus Christ himself will save you. So, folks, with this, do not believe his lies. Trust in the truth of God and let him save you and have eternal life. Amen.